war, corrupt politicians, school shootings, Ebola, enterovirus, and on it goes. But in the not-so-distant future, which these days here that we're observing foreshadow a great time. And to quote from the late Herbert W. Armstrong's book, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, the headlines will be, peace breaks out, crime rate drops to zero, millions have been supernaturally healed of sickness and disease. This world civilization is mentally, morally, and spiritually sick. One report says one in five is mentally ill. The garbage being put out by Hollywood, the perverted music, Satan says shake, they shake, rattle, and roll. This world has no hope, no understanding of what happens to them after death because they don't believe in the Creator God. Les read yesterday Ephesians 2 verse 12, and I'll just read that to you. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So today we'll cover several Old Testament prophecies of what it will be like in the world tomorrow. But before these prophecies can be fulfilled, Satan will have to be captured and restrained, which was pictured by the Day of Atonement. Let's turn to Isaiah 14. And we know from Revelation 20, Satan will be cast into a pit. But there's an interesting saying in Isaiah 14. Let's read verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art ye cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Drop down to verse 15. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And to me, this is what's interesting. Verse 16. They that stare and wonder at you, they look upon you and consider you, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? It sounds like Satan will be put on display for a short period of time, so the nations can look at him. So he'll be put out of the way. So my first point, in the new government of God, they will know, all will know God. Look at Jeremiah 24. Jeremiah 24, let's read verse 6 and 7. For I will set my eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Eternal, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. In chapter 31, 34. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Eternal. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Point two, of what will change in the world tomorrow. The Holy Spirit will be poured out. Look at Joel 2. Joel 2, verse 27 through 29. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. Number 3. The law of God will be enforced and internalized, written in their hearts, which is happening right now to us. And what is happening to us will happen to them. Look at Jeremiah 31:31. Let's read 31 through 33. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, says the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Eternal, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Number 4, God's mercy will be poured out. Look at Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, let's read verse 13. O sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Chapter 54, 7 and 8. For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather you. In a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. Number 5, there will be one world religion. Look at Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah 6, let's read 12 and 13. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, this branch being Jesus Christ, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And you can reference Ephesians 2:20 and Hebrews 3:3. A commentary on these two verses, Bible Knowledge Commentary, I'd like to quote to you. Here God told Zechariah to convey to Joshua in verse 11 there that he would represent or typify the branch who will rebuild the millennial temple. The crowning had a typical significance pointing toward the Messiah as king priest, like Melchizedek centuries earlier. And you can reference Hebrews 7:11 through 21. The title branch is a messianic title, as already indicated in Zechariah 3 verse 8. Since the promise to rebuild the post-exilic temple in Zechariah's day was given to Zerubbabel, any role Joshua himself had was apparently minor. So the promise that the branch will build the temple of the Lord is probably limited to Messiah's role in establishing the millennial temple. And you can reference Ezekiel chapters 40 through 46. The messianic branch will be clothed with majesty. This refers to Christ as the bearer of the essential glory of God. Christ will also sit and rule on his throne as a priest on his throne. A Levitical priest could never become a king and sit on the throne. But Christ will unite in himself the offices of priest and king. As also indicated in the statement in verse 13, there will be harmony between the two. And that is referring to the two offices of priest and king. And number six, we will be kings and priests, teachers, assisting Jesus Christ. Look at Isaiah 30. Researching these prophecies, it just shocks me at how many religions today want to do away with the Old Testament. All these prophecies I'm giving you are from the Old Testament of the coming world tomorrow. Isaiah 30, let's read 20 and 21. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, you shall not, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner any more. But your eyes shall see your teachers, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Of course, that is referring to us. Look at Obadiah 17, and that is the book right after Amos. Obadiah 17, it's one chapter. Obadiah 17, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And in verse 21, and saviors, plural, shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. We are those saviors. We are the saviors, brethren. Israel will repent and lead the other nations as God had intended for them, to set the example for the other nations. Look at Zechariah 8. Verse 20. Let's read 20 through 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And I'm sure that those Jews are referring to us. Nineveh, in the book of Jonah, was a type of the Gentile nations that will repent in the world tomorrow. Let's look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11, let's read 20 through 24. Then began he to unbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto you, Bethsaida! But if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. And look at chapter 12:41, this page over in my Bible. 12:41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. So when the nations, brethren, see the example of Israel in the world tomorrow, and how blessed Israel is because of their obedience to the Creator, it will help them all to repent and to become like Israel. Number 7. The feast which we're observing right now, of course, will be kept. If you look at Hosea 12:9. Hosea 12, verse 9. And I, that am the Eternal, your God, from the land of Egypt, will yet make you to dwell in tabernacles, as in the day of the solemn feast. And look at Zechariah 14:16. Zechariah 14, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Point number 8. Marriage and family will be a blessing. Look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78, let's read 4 through 8. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Eternal and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So we see here children will be taught and raised in the knowledge of God. And look at Deuteronomy 6, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, 4. Let's read 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. So there will be right education in the world tomorrow, wholesome families. Today in our society, for the most part, there is no wisdom in how to raise and discipline children. course, don't get me wrong, there are good family in the world. But just all you have to do is turn on the TV and you see what's happening. The parents or single parent, as the case is today, pawn these duties off to the schools. And then they don't want the schools to discipline the children. Their idea of correction, go to your room. Have you seen some of those rooms? Man, the video games, the TVs. I'd like to go to my room. I tell you, when I was a kid, I heard my mama hollering, "Get in here now." And I'd ignore. Then the next word was, "I'm going to get a switch." And boy, what the dad insult to injury. She got my older brother to go cut the switch. Ooh. Of course, I'm not advocating that one way or the other, but it worked on me. So if you'll turn to Zechariah 8, verse 4. Zechariah 8, let's read 4 and 5. Thus says the Lord of hosts, there shall yet, O men and O women, dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And notice verse 5, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. What a picture. Children will no longer be ignored and left to themselves. The family unit will be restored. Point number 9, one government. And Les got me to thinking yesterday when he was talking about the myriad laws that are on the books. So I Googled these. Top 10 frivolous lawsuits, which are caused by frivolous laws. I'll just read a couple to you. In 1992, 23-year-old Karen Norman accidentally backed her car into Galveston Bay after a night of drinking. Norman couldn't operate her seat belt and drowned. Her passenger managed to disengage herself and make it to shore. Norman's parents sued Honda for making a seat belt. Their drunken daughter, her blood alcohol was 0.17, nearly twice the legal limit. She couldn't open underwater. A jury found Honda 75% responsible for Karen's death and awarded the Norman family $65 million. An appeals court threw out the case. In 1997, Larry Harris of Illinois broke into a bar owned by Jesse Ingram. Ingram, the victim of several break-ins, had recently set a trap around his windows to deter potential burglars. Harris, 37 years old, who was under the influence of both alcohol and drugs, must have missed the warning sign prominently displayed in the window. He set off the trap as he entered the window, electrocuting himself. The police refused to file murder charges. Harris' family saw it differently, however, and filed a suit against Ingram. A jury originally awarded the Harris family $150,000. Later, the award was reduced to $75,000 when it was decided Harris should share at least half of the blame. In 1991, Richard Harris, not the same Harris here, sued Anheuser-Busch for $10,000 for false advertising. Harris claimed to suffer from emotional distress in addition to mental and physical injury. Why? Because when he drank beer, He didn't have any luck with the ladies. These are actual lawsuits. He had no luck with the ladies as promised on the TV commercials. Harris also didn't like that he got sick sometimes after he drank. The case was thrown out of court. Let's see here. I got too many. In 95, Robert Brock, a Virginia prison inmate, decided to take a new approach to the legal system. After filing a number of unsuccessful lawsuits against the prison system, Brock sued himself. He claimed his civil rights and religious beliefs were violated when he allowed himself to get drunk. After all, it was being drunk that created the cycle of committing crimes and being incarcerated. He demanded $5 million from himself. However, since he didn't earn an income behind bars, he felt the state should pay. Needless to say, the case was thrown out. Reading about these cases often induces chuckles than seriousness. Their mere existence proves that Ripley's, believe it or not, applies to the legal world too. Unbelievable. And I just got a couple more of these here. Getting off track here. So we see our government allows frivolous lawsuits that come from frivolous laws. For example, the government spent millions studying the effects of cow flatulence on the ozone. Of course, that stems from this green energy. I think this happened back in the 70s where they wanted to do away with the cows and all of that. I just got a couple more of these. These are frivolous laws. In Alabama, it is illegal for a driver to be blindfolded while operating a vehicle. Dominoes may not be played on Sunday. It is illegal to wear a fake mustache that causes laughter in church. These are on the books. California. Sunshine is guaranteed to the masses. Animals are banned from mating publicly within 1,500 feet of a tavern, school, or place of worship. It is a misdemeanor to shoot at any kind of game from a moving vehicle, unless the target is a whale. Women may not drive in a house coat. And in Florida, women may be fined for falling asleep under a hair dryer, as can the salon owner. A special law prohibits unmarried women from parachuting on Sunday, or she shall risk arrest, fine, and or jailing. If an elephant is left tied to a parking meter, the parking fee has to be paid just as it would for a vehicle. Men may not be seen publicly in any kind of strapless gown. New York. A fine of $25 can be levied for flirting. This old law specifically prohibits men from turning around any city street and looking at a woman in that way. A second conviction for a crime of this magnitude calls for the violating male to be forced to wear a pair of horse blinders wherever and whenever he goes outside for a stroll. A license must be purchased before hanging clothes on a clothesline. The penalty for jumping off a building is death. North Dakota, beer and pretzels can't be served at the same time in any bar or restaurant. It is illegal to lie down and fall asleep with your shoes on. But you see, it's just ridiculous. I've got more here, but I'll waste your time. Number 10, complete education. Let's turn to Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing that you have forgotten the law of God. I will also forget your children. Reminds me of the 8-year-old come told his teacher. My dad said, if I get a failing grade, somebody's going to get a spanking. And it ain't going to be me. And that brings me to some, I had to look this up. Funny SAT answers. The following questions and answers were collated from the SAT test given to 16-year-old students. Don't laugh too hard. One of them could become president one day. Question, name the four seasons. Answer, salt, pepper, mustard, and vinegar. Question, how is dew formed? Answer, the sun shines down on the leaves and makes them perspire. What is a planet? Answer, a body of earth surrounded by sky. 16-year-olds. Question, what causes the tides in the ocean? Answer, the tides are a fight between the earth and the moon. All water tends to flow toward the moon because there is no water on the moon, and nature abhors a vacuum. I forget where the sun joins in this fight. Question, what are steroids? Answer, things for keeping carpets on the stairs. Question, what happens to your body as you age? Answer, when you get old, so do your bowels and you get intercontinental. Question, name a major disease associated with cigarettes. Answer, premature death. Question, how can you delay milk from turning sour? Answer, keep it in the cow. Question, what is the fibula? Answer, a small lie. Question, what does varicose mean? Answer, nearby. Question, what is a seizure? A Roman emperor. Question, what is terminal illness? Answer, when you are sick at the airport. What is a turban? Answer, something an Arab wears on his head. And just think, one day Social Security payments will depend on these kids. You know, just a generation ago, the worst offenses in school were things like not having your shirt tucked in or not wearing your belt or your hair's too long or something. Today, what do you hear? You hear rape, drugs, teen pregnancy, student-teacher affairs, and on it goes. So we will have complete education. Number 11, the land is blessed. Amos 9:13. Amos 9:13-15. Behold, the days come, says the Eternal, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that sows seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, says the Eternal, your God. And you can reference Joel 3:17-18. Number 12, the weather will be changed. No tornadoes, no more hurricanes, no more drought. Look at Joel 2:21. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, you beast of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree bears her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore you the years that the locust had eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Eternal your God, that I have dealt wonderfully with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Number 13, the nature of animals will be changed. Isaiah 11, which I believe this is read at the feast every year, and is a picture on the brochure. Isaiah 11. Let's read 6 through 9. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little kid shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the winged child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And you can reference Hosea 2:18. 14, healing in the world tomorrow. Look at Malachi 4:2. Malachi 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Number 15, one pure language. Zephaniah 3:9. Zephaniah 3, verse 9. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. 16. Music and fashion will be cleaned up. No more of these baggy pants these young boys and young men wear, showing their butts. But music in this will be cleaned up. Look at Zephaniah 3, if you're still there, verse 14 and 15. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy, the King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of you. You shall not see evil any more. How wonderful. You know, God loves variety. Today's music conveys filth, violence in its lyrics. This will all cease. And I'm sure God likes country music, folk music, classical. Sure He does. So a new world is coming, brethren, and we are rehearsing that right now. And I'd like to close with Acts 3:19. Let's read 19 through 21. Repent you therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since the world began.